Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 319. Yes, it's Thursday, it's 7 o'clock and it's 319. Date? That would be the 28th. Why am I telling you that? Well, if you were here at the beginning of last night's show, you will know why I'm telling you that. I've recovered myself. And I now know everything about when it is and everything. Ah, amazing. How are we all doing? Let me know. I'm going to refresh the chat right now. Oh, it does hide behind notifications. But my money is on young Jonathan. It's Kim. Oh, congratulations, Kim. Poor Jonathan. Was it a photo finish? No. I think Kim got that one. Well done, Kim. Hello, young Jonathan. How are you doing? You're going to get dinner. Excellent. We're going to need a photo of that, just saying. Ooh, Kim, you beat me to it. That was all over the front of one of our papers this morning, which, you know, I hope you weren't having your breakfast while you were looking at it. I will show you the picky. Oh, good grief. That's just not happening. That is not happening for many, many, many reasons, but that is not happening. Are you fancying that, Kim? That is not happening here. Mike and I have always had this thing. When Dad died, not long before Dad died, he was as fit as a fiddle, and he would go out and he would clear the snow from people's driveways. Not just like next door. Oh no, that wasn't my father. He'd walk up the road and do it. Anyway, he knew this couple who live on the main road that ours is a side road off and a bit further up. He knew this couple were both too elderly and frail to do their own pathway. So he decided he'd do it. But instead of asking, no, that's not my father, he literally just went out and did it. Anyway, we got talking to this couple after that because they were like, oh, wow, you know, how generous of you. So when Dad died, we went across and we told them that he died. And at the time, the guy had cancer. Was it lung cancer he had?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Or was it prostate cancer as well? He definitely had lung cancer because he found it difficult to breathe. But I think he... Oh, no, I know what it was. They said he needed a test for prostate cancer. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
So they dragged him in for this test. Now, me, if you've already got lung cancer and it's terminal, what difference does it make if you've got 30,000 other kinds of cancer? You're on the way out anyway. So why bother going to the hospital? But dutifully, he rocked up at the hospital. They made that much of a mess doing this test for prostate cancer that he ended up needing reconstructive surgery, which he then had to go in and have. Then he got an infection from that. Ultimately, he died. And I said to Mike, do you know, he could have lived longer if he'd just stayed at home and not piddled around with all the rest of it. So anything to do with, well, basically in my case, below the hairline isn't happening, but certainly below the waist. I don't think it was helped by the fact of a case that I did once, which involved something. And when you've got a medical malpractice case, you have to get down and dirty with what the technique was they were doing and whether it was wise to have done it at the time and what was known. And I had to learn all about something called Lord's procedure. Just don't go there. It went badly, badly wrong. So once I'd read that was to do with the back end as well. No one's going there. So let me know, Kim, how you feel.
Jonathan's having a sandwich.
Right, we've finished talking about that, Jonathan, although I will be sharing the front of our paper for Kim because she's found one here from the New York Post, which is very civilised. The one off this morning Star, less so. Let's just say that. You know the UK, Jonathan. You know the Daily Star. Oh, yes. So I'll get that shared up with Cloud App while we sort that out. Kim assures us she's not having one. Excellent. I'm with Kim. Whatever Kim says suits me. I'm not doing it. As a diagnostic, what difference does it make? If you've lost your sense of taste and smell, odds are you've got COVID. Why do they need to stick something up your backside to prove it? There's something wrong with people. There is. Right, let's get this link in there. That's this morning's star. You see, you have a lovely picture there of two scientists with test tubes. And what do we have?
Boris.
No, it's worse than Boris. Go and have a look at it. Leave the shopping alone, Mike, and go and have a look at it. Oh, hello, Anthony. Good to have you with us. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? And when I say down under, I don't mean the front of the
star. Oh, it's squeaky bum time.
It's squeaky bum time.
Squeaky bum time.
Yes. But you know, do you need to look at that over your cornflakes?
No.
No, that's what I'm thinking. I'm assuming that would not make it onto the front cover of an American newspaper. But maybe it would, I don't know. I don't think it would. Oh, China's getting to the bottom of things. Oh, yes. Don't we have China to blame for this? Just saying. Hello, Sarah. Just a sandwich, nothing exciting. Oh, have you been up to mischief, Jonathan? In fact, why don't you share that story you found, Mike, and ask young Jonathan if he's up for a new vehicle like that? This is a classic from the UK. Never underestimate anybody in the UK, but particularly in the Northwest, coming up with devious, conniving plans when it comes to getting out.
This is not far from us.
It isn't. It's only about 20 miles away, isn't it?
Not far from Jonathan,
either.
Jonathan
says, please tell me that Piers Morgan isn't running for PM. It's a close-run story. It's a close-run story, Jonathan.
Right, let me read this story. A driver went supermarket shopping in a second-hand ambulance with emergency lights flashing, police said. The ambulance was reportedly carrying a family when it arrived at the Asda store in Harper Hay area of Manchester on Wednesday. Now, whether that's a real photo or whether it's been photoshopped, because it is outside an Asda and there's an ambulance and a police car. And why would the police car be following an ambulance? Wouldn't it just assume it was on its way somewhere?
Well, when they decommission an ambulance, because a friend of ours did that, there was on the way to Blackpool, if you went the old road through Preston, there was a garage and it used to sell decommissioned police cars and ambulances. And what people used to do with the ambulances was refit them. But part of the deal with the garage that sells equipment like that is that all of the blues and twos and all of the liveries taken off it. So I'm assuming the police could have been following it on the basis that the livery didn't look right.
Ah.
I think the guy who's bought it's put the livery back on it to look like an ambulance because legally it has to be taken off. So many years ago, you used to see people going caravanning or on holiday in an old ambulance, but it had all been like painted. Right. So you could tell it was an ambulance because of the shape of it, but it didn't look like an ambulance in terms of the livery. So I think he's put it back.
Let me carry on. The ambulance was reportedly carrying a family when it arrived at the Asda store in Harper Hay area of Manchester. Traffic officers tweeted that the group then promptly went inside to do their shopping. The ambulance was seized and a man was later charged with a range of driving offences. The 32-year-old is due before magistrates in Manchester, charged with driving whilst disqualified, without a licence, without insurance and using a vehicle with unauthorised blue lights. He also faces a charge of failing to appear at court at an earlier date.
Oh, put the link in, Mike, so we can see the booking.
That is a good point Johnny's made. Should second-hand ambulances even be allowed on the road?
Well, that's the point.
There's the link.
Whatever link you've put in Notion, Mike, isn't the right one. It's linking to itself.
Oh, right, okay.
I've no idea what you've done there. It doesn't look like there's HTTP on it. So even if I open it up in a new page, it's going to itself.
I'll go and fix it in Notion then.
Go fix it in Notion and then I can sort it out. Yes, should they be allowed on the road? Well, the thing is, like I said, they have to remove all of the equipment and all of the livery. So basically you end up with like a beige box on wheels, or years ago you did. I don't know how new this was. And I guess the thing these days is you could take a blank box of a vehicle on wheels and remake an ambulance from it really easily, because you can probably buy stickers these days that just stick on. If you think about what an ambulance looked like in the late 70s, early 80s,
right,
less
there
so
you go, it's fixed.
Right, let me get that and I'll post that link in. There we go. I mean, unbelievable. That does actually look like it's the real McCoy mic, because there's a number plate on it that's been wiped out on the back of it. That doesn't look like it was delivered, does it? Although, having said that, if you look at the words emergency and ambulance, they're not exactly lined up. So maybe it was, I don't know. But that is a thing. I haven't had a chance to look at anything yet, Jonathan. I will. I did have a conversation with the guy, though, about 2 weeks ago. And there were some very nice new features coming. Like the fonts and colours for PowerPoint. So, yes. And I specifically mentioned the step numbers to him. So that's very good news. Right. Let me get this other link that I was giggling about all day. I know I shouldn't. But honestly, where are we? Where's my link gone? There we go. Right. This is another classic from today, from the BBC. Right. The government decided that we weren't all staying at home like we should be. So what they'd do to make sure we did. Now, my idea was put the army on the streets and arm them. No, none of this rubber bullet malarkey. Just give them the real McCoy. And if you leave the house without a good reason, bye bye. But apparently, no, that was a little bit too much for the government. So what they decided to do was put a poster out. So they put a poster out that said across the top, "Stay home, save lives." How far wrong could they go with that? Oh, let me tell you. It showed four little houses. There was a family relaxing. There was somebody doing, let's have a look, childcare. There was somebody homeschooling and somebody with a mop and a bucket. Needless to say, the lady of the house had the mop and the bucket, who was doing the homeschooling and was looking after the child. And the bloke sat on the sofa. Government pulled it. Too sexist. It should just read the story. It's a classic. People are like, how did this get passed in 2020? And I thought, well, grey men at Whitehall, I would have thought. I mean, it's just so bad. They managed to get the ethnicity spread across the board, just not the work. Funny that. And somebody did say, you know, it may be accurate, but that's not the point. You can't do that because it's like encouraging it. Oh, I laughed and laughed at that one. Thought, you know, how far wrong could you actually go? And then the British government. That's how far wrong you can actually go. You would think that would go through some kind of diversity process, which obviously it did in terms of ethnicity, just not in terms of who was doing the work. I mean, a mop and bucket, and they've got a young girl with the mop. There are no words, are there? There are no words. So yet again, British government. Ooh, a guy who bought an old fire engine and restored it. Excellent. So it can be done, Jonathan. So if you are looking for a way, you know, to get to Nanny Isaac's with her food and take priority, you can always drive an ambulance. Although if Nanny Isaac sees an ambulance pulling up outside, you might want to warn her first. Otherwise, she might need to use that ambulance.
Or a fire engine.
Or a fire engine if you decide to do that. Oh, Kim uses a Swiffer. No mops. Do we have a mop? We used to have a mop.
I don't know.
I don't think we've got a mop anymore because we've got no floors that we would use a mop on. The extension is where the conservatory used to be, and that used to have like a vinyl floor. So we had a mop for that. It was filthy. It was always filthy. It didn't matter, did it? If you buffed it up like a diamond the day before, the day after, it was filthy. I couldn't be doing with it. So we put a carpet in, a grey, dark carpet, and it's fabulous. Do you realise that's been down 3 years?
Mm.
I know that is scary. Because I remember that going down, wasn't it Christmas week? You know us, everything happens in the week before Christmas. But in the August, we had to paint, if you remember. I'm sure we told this on MacBites. We were going away for 2017, it was, wasn't it? Because it was the trip to Nid Hall, which is in Yorkshire. Beautiful, beautiful hotel. Not as nice as Alverstone, but the place itself is beautiful to look at. The biggest problem we had was that where they'd put us in the restaurant meant that Ellen had to do about five circuits of the building to get in. And once you'd eaten, you know, you had like bottles of wine there and you hadn't quite finished your food and you'd got to move from the restaurant up to the entertainment area. So that was a bit of an issue. But apart from that, it was a beautiful, beautiful place. So before we left, I said, this is the only time we're going to get to paint the toilet floor. Otherwise, you'd need to use the toilet. So we did the toilet floor. And literally, we were backing out of the house. And I'm saying, I'll just do the handrail. I'll just do the bottom step. We get to the back door and I said, have you got everything? Because I'm going to paint the back step. And you're not going to be able to get back in. So Mike was like, no, I've definitely got everything. I said, right, give me the paint. And I painted the back step on the way out of the door. And that way, it had 4 days to dry before we got back. Oh, life is never dull here. So you don't think a fire engine would fit in your parking space? Really? Can you not nick somebody else's? Just think of the priority parking you'd get, Jonathan. Mind you, if anything was ever on fire and they called on, you know, it'd never work, would it? No, leave it alone. Some guys just like stuff like that. My dad was a real vehicle head. I guess petrol head. But he wouldn't... I mean, he liked to buy cars. I mean, there was, I remember him standing outside, was it a Mercedes or a Jaguar dealership? And Mum was like, don't even think about it. But he would literally stand there just gazing at vehicles. So he would change his car quite a bit. Good night, Jonathan. Comes around quicker every week. Tell me about it. I'm the one who has to prep for it. Tell me about it. Oh, dear. So he loved his vehicles, he did. The worst one of the lot, and I thought Mum's going to have a coronary if he carries on. It was, I think it was 1999, and we decided we would take them on a holiday, and we'd got a surprise planned, particularly for Mum, but we thought Dad would enjoy it. But this was really a surprise for Mum. There's a place here called Bletchley, which is near Milton Keynes. And it's where there is Bletchley Park, which was a decoding centre in the war. So Mum had read about it and she'd done computer work on the computers that were first used in Bletchley Park. So she was like, oh, that this looks fascinating. And I said, you know, with it being like a war centre, I said, Dad would like it too. But she was always like, you know, I said, like, shall we go away for the week? No, we'll stay here and we'll do stuff. And I thought, no, we won't. So we booked for them. Had we already been down there a week or did we all go down together?
I thought we went together.
I think we went together. So I think we were all in one car as well.
We were.
And I said, you know, we're going down to Oxford, somewhere near Oxford. And that didn't faze her in the slightest because obviously I'd studied at Oxford. So she just figured I'd found a nice little place somewhere around the university. So we gets down, we scoots past Oxford and we heads for Milton Keynes. And then we takes a sharp left to Bletchley Park. Yes, it was in a movie. I think it's been in a couple of movies. There was Enigma, like you say. And then there was another one much later with... who was in that? Can see the face. Can't remember the name. In fact, I'm not sure I would have ever known the name. But it was the life story of Turing, Alan Turing. So it's been in a couple and it's an amazing place. You ever get an opportunity to go. It's fascinating. Yeah, was it with Benedict Cumberbatch? Was he in it? Did he play Turing? He could well have done. I've seen it. I've seen a movie, good grief. I've seen both of those. I actually thought the one with, was it Beautiful Mind? Oh, wow. I don't remember the name. But we'd almost got there, right? I don't think we'd quite seen a sign that said Bletchley. And Mum was completely oblivious. I thought, this isn't like Mum. She's like, oh, it's beautiful here, isn't it? And I genuinely think she thought it was like, and then we'll have a picnic in the park and stuff like that. So we then sees the first sign for Bletchley, and I thought, oh, darn it. You know, she'll twig now. No, she didn't. And I'm navigating with a paper map. It was that long ago. So I said to Mike, take a right and then take a right again. And it's there. And it was down like, I mean, you think of it as like an attraction. It's selling itself as like a tourist destination. But when you actually think about it, it was just a very tiny house. A small house considering it was like a family estate. And most of the grounds were just empty and they put huts in it. So you basically just go down what looks like an urban street and it's right at the bottom of it. So we're just going down this street and Mum's like, it's a bit small for a hotel here. Is it not? And, you know, like the Premier Inns and stuff like that. Is it not one of those? And I said, no, Mum, no. We're not actually going to the hotel yet. And what we'd done was we'd turned up really early so we could spend the entire day there. And she did not twig. She did not twig until we got right in front of the gates and it said Bletchley Park. And I said, I wanted you to see it. And she was like, oh my God, oh my God. And we were there a bit early, weren't we? We had to wait a half an hour while they opened up. But we went in and it was the most amazing day. You actually get to use a real Enigma machine. There is on site, there is the National Computer Museum. And they actually had the equipment in there that Mum had actually used. So she was sat down using it with punch cards. She was in her glory. And my father, where was he? Oh, he found a garage outside with some vehicles in. And apparently these vehicles were privately owned. They were not owned by Bletchley Park. They were garaged at Bletchley Park on account of the fact you couldn't really park a tank outside your house. So it was people who had bought tanks and they did them up at the weekends, like the fire engine. I cannot tell you, even though they were in a garage and some of them were like, I mean, you could tell they were a tank, obviously, but some of them had like the back end off while they were doing work on it. But I cannot tell you how terrifying it is to stand in front of a tank, even when you know it's decommissioned and whatever. It is a terrifying vehicle. Dad was thinking it'd be a good idea to buy one. I thought Mum was going to have a heart attack on the spot. And I thought, never underestimate the power of my father to get into mischief, even on a holiday. He did it every time. There was the time we went to the Café Royal and he'd had a work phone, a mobile phone from work, and they'd done away with them. I think they put radios in or something. And he wanted a mobile phone. And Mum was like, not today. Well, there we are in all our finery, walking from the short distance we had from the hotel to the Café Royal for a posh meal. And there was him. I just want to go shopping for a phone. She's like, no, not now. Not now. So there was that one. Then there was the holiday he put his hand through the window. Then there was the holiday he wanted to buy a tank. This is why I'm mentally scarred with holidays. But Mum had a fabulous time. Hello, Tracy. I remember the Keira Knightley one. And was it Keira Knightley or the one who was in Titanic, Kate Winslet? Was she in one? There was a series about ex-coders who set about solving murder post-war. That's another one. That was the Bletchley Circle. I remember that one. Renee's got that Bletchley Circle. And there was another one as well. The Bletchley Circle itself turned into San Francisco something. They moved them to San Francisco, which I thought, what is going on? People didn't have that kind of mobility just after the war. The story wasn't actually bad. But I think it was like just too much. I think America wanted to give some money to keep the series going, but they wanted it moved to San Francisco, which didn't really work long term. But it was a fairly decent series, though. I really loved the first series. Loved it. I also, and it wasn't Bletchley, but it was around the same time. It was something set in the war. Can't remember the name of the book. But I can tell you who wrote it. That was Sean Busby. Let me go get it. I think it was Busby. Yeah, that's the one, Sean Busby. It was called A Commonplace Killing, and it was very much set in, I think it was actually in the war, early 40s, I would say. It was a really, really good book. I loved it. 1946 it was based. It was a series of like a serial killer thing. The only thing with the book was the ending felt a bit rushed. All the rest of it had been absolutely stunning. It was head and shoulders above your average thriller. It was really, really well written. I loved it. And then it got to the end and I thought that felt a bit rushed. The end seriously felt a bit rushed. I knew why, though. Because at the beginning of the book, there was an intro from the author's husband. And she had actually desperately wanted to finish this book. And she had cancer. So she quickly wrote an end and then went back to the beginning and wrote as much as she could, as well as she could, as far as she could into the book. And obviously she died before she had chance to, like, expand on the ending. He is actually Robert Peston, who is a big political commentator in the UK. I think I also, not only did I read it, I also listened to it as an ebook and an audiobook. And I think he did a piece on there as well. But it was very, very well written. It's just a shame that she didn't live longer to write more books. Fabulous. I loved it. She also wrote a couple of others and I keep meaning to get them. One's McNaughton. I'm not sure if it is the McNaughton. It might be McNaughton, although it doesn't get the best of reviews there. McNaughton was a case, a British case, and it was the one that set the rules for an insanity defence. So if you ever hear of anybody mention the McNaughton rules, it's the rules that were decided in the case of the Crown and McNaughton as to when it was acceptable to have a defence of insanity. So I really want to read that one as well. But it is actually, I don't think, it's a novel. So I think it might touch on it. It might include it, but actually it's fiction. So I quite fancy that. Definitely fancy that. Yes, I can honestly recommend Bletchley Park to anybody, but I would say if you're going to do it, go early. They do a tour of the grounds, including the house, that you can go on. Then there's the huts outside that you can go visit. These were where the individual work was done. They've been restored. They have had to sell some of the ground, so it's scary how close some of the houses that you go past to get there are to the actual huts, literally like 2-3 metres away. Then there's the Computer Museum, which is worth seeing just good, for itself.
What? The Computer Museum.
Computer Museum was amazing. It was amazing. They had everything and they'd set them up as well, hadn't they? Mm. So like Mike never had a Sinclair Spectrum or whatever, but you could go there and try it. That was it, The Imitation Game. That's the one that I saw. I did not know Keira Knightley was in that. But then you know me. It's lucky I knew Benedict Cumberbatch, isn't it? But that was a good one. That was very, very good. Thank you for that, Renee. That's a film I could watch more than once because it was that good. I really enjoyed that. I thought Enigma wasn't bad. Personally, I thought the book was better. I'd actually read the book. I've read most of Robert Harris's books and I thought the book was better. It felt a bit Hollywood to me. Who was the guy in that? Was it the one from that film with George? Things to Do Before You're 30. Was it the lead from that?
Don't know.
I'll have a look and we'll find out. But yeah, they were both great. I could definitely watch that. So that's on Netflix. I wonder if it's on Prime. I wonder if it's on Amazon Prime. Let's have a look on Prime Video and see what they've got. Not that it's the same in every country, but... Oh, Tracy, talking of which, has it arrived? Is the book with you? The one that was sent yesterday seems a bit fast for me to see you getting it, but fingers crossed. Right, let's have a look, see if Enigma's there. Why is it not typing? Oh, we're in that mood, are we? There we go. No, it's not included. Oh, hang on. Good grief. How many different Enigmas are there? That's the one I was thinking of. I think it was a BBC thing. It was called Codebreaker, the Alan Turing story. And it really was his particular story. Actually, he worked at the University of Manchester at some point. We have a statue of him. And when we went to a ladies' night, it was ladies' night, wasn't it, at Knutsford, at the courts?
Yeah, it was a ladies' night.
Yeah.
Well, St George's night, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. The hotel was booked, wasn't it? They usually go to this really nice hotel called Cotton's. But because they'd had to change the night, Cotton's was booked. And the next nicest venue in Knutsford, which is a very well-to-do area, was something called, I think it's called the Courts, isn't it? Or the Crown Court. The Courts.
Something like that.
And it genuinely was the court in Knutsford. And it's been done out as a hotel. But there's a lot of the original fixtures and fittings there. And one of the main area, you've got all the wooden panelling and everything else on the walls. And it was the actual courtroom where Alan Turing was tried. And it was just fascinating to be there. Everything was the same. Obviously, they'd got like a wide open space on the floor, put the tables and stuff. But the rest of it was exactly the same. I wonder if they did that for the actual film, if they used that venue for the film. But it was fascinating to go there. So I can recommend that one, Codebreaker, the Alan Turing story. We've seen photos of Tracy's book, have we? I have not seen photos of Tracy's book because I have been busy all day. I will go and I will click there and then I will see photos of Tracy's book. Ooh, now that's well packaged. Can I just say that looks well packaged because it's got that bit at the bottom, hasn't it? Where if they drop it, it doesn't break. It doesn't damage the actual book. Yours looks like it's in better fettle than mine. But at least it's arrived. Fabulous. Not had a chance to. I don't think I've even opened Slack, have I? I've been fixing things and doing various other things in little time blocks, which is driving me insane. Something broke. Do you know, I can't even remember what it was now. It broke overnight and I had to fix that. I sit down to get some work done and then something breaks and then I have to fix it. Ah, Renee's was dented as well. Yeah, mine's are, all three of them are. They just don't package them properly. Clearly, the one that got to Tracy must have been done basically by hand as a one-off. But the others are just slung in an envelope and you're lucky if it arrives at all. Two bashed corners. The book or the packaging? That is, it's very poor, isn't it? Ah, I see, the corner, the front corner at the top. It is, considering the price of it, it's very poor service. I mean, you can't get them anywhere else. There were some that were available via Amazon for the other two books, Designer and Photo, but the price was like £100. So you're pretty much stuck to getting it from them. And I can, if we've all had that issue, I can only assume that that is commonplace. And in three books, they've done nothing about it, which is pretty poor as far as I'm concerned. But at least, like you say, the packaging on the outside wasn't at all bad. But it makes you wonder how they're shipped to them. Or did it come via Amazon? I only got some pathetic little envelope on mine. But never mind. I've got to learn not to concern myself with the bumps on the book. I'm not doing well. Not doing well. Must have been a one-off if you think of the cost of sending DHL Express internationally. Hence it having the right packaging on it, which doesn't explain why the book would be damaged. I would much rather they package them in that kind of packaging because that seems to stop it. I mean, I have had ones like that and all four corners are damaged, but the book is fine because the book is kind of further into the packaging and both ends have got like 3 or 4 inches. So if it's dropped, it doesn't get damaged. But I've never had one of the books shipped like that. So I reckon they must have done that especially for you. But, I wonder about them making a profit on this the way it's gone. How many others have they had to send out? And also the time, because they are a smallish team and you don't want any development or design aspect of the team working on sending books out, for crying out loud. Because if you do, that pushes them 2 months back in the development, and we are desperate for a digital asset manager from Affinity. We are also desperate for a publisher for the iPad. So if they could possibly get on with that, we'd all be happy. Sarah's came from Amazon. Mine came from Amazon. It's that's what caused the problem. Maybe they give the pristine books to Amazon and sell the dented ones at a cheaper price from their website. The issue was that Amazon, it's fulfilled by Amazon. It's called FBA, and it's a thing. Drop shipping, basically. And they should be able to send 7,000 items to the warehouse. So they knew they were going to get their, even if they've got the 15,000 orders, they could do that in 2 1/3 shipment to Amazon. The only problem was, by the time they'd got the books, it was into the Christmas rush, which, to be honest, they should have known about. This is no excuse. And Amazon were only accepting 200 items a day from each supplier. So obviously it was going to take them 5 days to get 1,000 there. Hence the long, long, long delays. Now, when you say 200, I'm assuming that's 200 to each individual warehouse, because we have 2 Amazon warehouses within 15 minutes of the front door. One is towards the airport, Ringway Manchester International Airport, and the other way is at Trafford Park. And a lot of the stuff that they can say, we can get it to you today, comes from this one in Trafford Park, which is just this side of Old Trafford. And I don't know whether they were intending to send them all to one warehouse. I'm assuming, some went to the States, so they will have gone en masse to the States and they got shipped. But in the UK, it was taking 5 days to get 1,000 in there, which is 35 days to get the 7,000 they could have got in one day.
Am I allowed to talk about the conversation that Tony Pease just messaged me back?
Yeah, of course you can.
Because obviously some of the MacBiters come into Brooklands. So those of you who were in by request on Saturday night will know that there's a bit of banter that goes on between Tony P and Frank over Peter Dawson, who is one of Tony's favourite singers, much to Frank's
disgust.
So, of course, on Saturday afternoon, we are putting on a Peter Dawson special. So we told Tony.
This is for a reason, can I add? It would have been the great man's 139th birthday on Sunday. So that's why we're putting a special on that, and to please Tony.
So Frank was told as well.
And I didn't want him to miss it.
Frank's reply to you was, I bet Tony P is thingying himself. Meanwhile, Tony P had mailed me a reply and said, I hope other interested parties have been informed. So I wrote back and said, we did indeed mention it to Frank. His reply, I bet Tony P is thingying himself. To which Tony P has replied, if that means to say I shall look forward to it, then he may very well be correct. Just a shame that his use of invective is rather limited. But then what more could we expect?
They're as bad as one another. They wind each other up constantly. The thing is with Peter Dawson, I bet he had a fabulous voice. But given that we're talking like the turn of the century, and not the last millennia, the one before, well, the century before, a lot of the recordings sound like they're on wax cylinders. So he will pick a song, and I don't think Tony has got all of these songs on vinyl, but they're pre-78, put it like that. So Frank's like, oh, good grief, and off he goes. So, and 90 minutes of pure pleasure for Tony P. I can't see Frank listening, but we'll see. They are so funny with each other, aren't they? They do enjoy it. They do. And do you remember last week? Who had he chosen last week? Paolo Nutella. What's his surname? Nutini.
Yeah,
Nutini,
like
I think.
That.
Not Nutella. That's a spread. Nutini. Well, he always has an alternative name. So if he asks for something from Michael Bublé, he calls him Mickey Bubbles. And I said, I can't believe you missed the opportunity to ask for something from Paul Nutkins. But he completely missed that one. You don't know half their songs. Me neither, Kim. Me neither. But I think he actually holds the record, does Tony P, for the oldest song ever requested, 1923. And it was, you remember, challenging me to find a song. That was one of the ones that was tricky, but I did find it. But, you know, sometimes you find a song, or that somebody requests a song, and you're like, oh, that'll be dead easy. That'll be dead easy. And it's not there. Something to do with licensing. And I thought, what do you mean it's not there? I mean, I found it, but that's not the point. It's not there in my primary system where I can just click and we're done. And then last week, the two songs that he picked, Scottish theme that week, one was 9 minutes 20 and the other was something like 8 minutes 40. So he gave me specific timings to start them from on top of everything else. This week's theme, if you did not catch that last night, what is this week's theme? Oh, sweet and sour. Not doing well on the sour front, are we?
No, we're doing all right on the sweet
front. There's plenty of songs with sweet. But I thought of one, Bitter Blue. Bonnie Tyler did a song called Bitter Blue. Oh. So we've got to play Bitter Blue, haven't we? We're dedicated
to the pair of them. Yeah, but the top of the league, they can take it.
Oh, well, they can at the moment. Yeah, don't mention the football. Didn't end well last night.
Don't mention the war.
Yeah, don't mention the war. Don't mention the football. Most people don't know any of Kim's songs. No, but they're all fabulous and we love them. We wait with eager anticipation for yours. I can't say we feel quite the same about Peter Dawson. Yours are great. Do you know, I've learnt so much in terms of songs, and found so many songs that I like that I probably wouldn't have heard before. In fact, something comical happened last night, Mike. You know, I was putting together the Beach Boys special.
Yeah.
And I said to you, you know, you might need to look at this list that I've got. I'm not sure about some of them. I decided to check whether I'd actually done the recording. To find, we already have a Beach Boys special at 60 minutes.
Do we?
No, do.
Oh.
Yeah. I do have enough for a 90-minute special.
And have we played it?
Yes, we have. Last November.
Oh.
So if you could just remember what we've got and not ask me to do it again, that would be good. But I could do a longer one.
Yeah.
If we need a longer one, I could do a longer one. There you go. Ooh, Tracy's got one. Sour Times. I've not heard of that one. I will go and have a look.
I'll add that into the spreadsheet.
Yeah, we're pretty much thinking we're going to have to accept bitter for sour, which is fine. But Tracy's got one bang on. I think that's just worth an extra point in its own right, Tracy. Right. Oh, and Sour Candy. I have forgotten that one. Oh, Tracy's doing very well. Oh, yes, it's there. Let me have a look. It's there. Is it one of the top songs? Yes, it is. Oh, wow. Right. We'll add that in there.
Right.
I had Bitter Blue. What else did I have? I did find some sour ones, but yeah, they were all explicit. And after the incident with Cass, Cass asked for this song. Did it have an explicit tag on it? Or did you not notice till we played it?
I didn't notice till we played it.
Well, we played it. Oh, dear.
What did you just say?
Bitter Blue.
Who's that by?
Like Bonnie Tyler. It's still by Bonnie Tyler, like I said 10 seconds ago. Still by Bonnie Tyler, Mike.
Oh, the Scottish woman.
The Scottish one from Wales. Yeah. I guess you could have from the group Stone Sour. We knew sour was going to be a bit tricky, but we'll take bitter. And there's plenty of songs with bitter in it. We'll just have to find some that people know. That's the main problem with it, but we will. But Tracy's got two there, so that's fantastic. Old Kims are
Didn't
about
the jam
sweet
do
tea.
One? Bitterest pill I had to swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely remember that one. There's quite a few with bitter in it.
Yeah, the bitterest pill jam.
There's also Bittersweet the Artist.
In fact, jam sweet, isn't it?
Oh, nicely done. Bittersweet Symphony, The Verve.
The Verve, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Bitter Tears album by Johnny Cash. There you go. Symbiotic Tracy, we're there. You know, there's so many. I think I only knew two Johnny Cash songs, and then loads of people requested them. And now I know way more. So let's have a look what's on that one. Of course, Kath was made up. She was straight in. Sweet Caroline. We thought she'll either get it straight away or it'll be so obvious that it'll take her a while. But no, she was straight in there. As Long as the Grass Shall Grow, Apache Tears, Cluster, The Talking Leaves, The Ballad of Ira Hayes, Drums, White Girl and The Vanishing Race.
Is this Johnny Cash?
They're all Johnny Cash from that album.
I've just put Bitter Tears.
First in. Is this, do you mean last in, Simon? Hello, how are you doing? You've never heard the album. No, I've not heard that album. It actually says Bitter Tears, Johnny Cash sings Ballads of the American Indian. So I think they're all going to be related. Some of them are as short as 2 minutes 20 and some are as long as 6 minutes 10. So we'll have to have a listen. I like quite his. He's got a very distinctive voice. So I think I'm going to like those. I will take a listen. Ooh, Sour Patch Kids. Not heard of that one. Not heard of that one. I did have another one, I think, for Bitter. But I can't for the life of me remember what it was. Let me have a look. I did get Bittersweet Symphony. I mean, that one came straight to mind. There's one called Bitter End. Nope. Bitter Blue. I remember. I didn't know if it was called that. It's definitely in there. It's in the chorus. But I didn't know if the song was called Bitter Blue, but I think it is. But it certainly doesn't come up well. Yeah, it's one word, Bitter Blue, Bonnie Tyler. I thought there was one done by the Nolans as well, but then I realised I must be losing the plot. And no, it wasn't. what was that one they did about dancing? That one, but that hasn't got Bitter or Sweet in it. I think, did I find one from the Beautiful South with Sweet in it? But Mike's stretching it now with jam, isn't he? Honey, yeah, honey's okay.
Honey, honey. Doo, doo, doo.
There you go. Goodbye, Renee.
So how do I stop the A-lady in the kitchen without going down there?
Oh, you just grab hold of my phone. And then you've got to get into it. And then you tap on the A-lady app. And then you go to devices, and she's in the kitchen, isn't she?
Just turn her down.
But she's in...
Because the dog might be enjoying the music.
Oh, hang on there. Oh, here we go. The kitchen one. There we go. And turn it down.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, can two people have this set up? Or do you have to... You'd have to log in as me, I think.
It wouldn't work on mine. We tried it.
Oh, that's not good.
We tried it with the light bulbs.
Oh, yes. Well, I asked the A-lady to turn on the toilet light the other night, didn't I? About 15 minutes after Mike had gone to bed. Anyway, she said, OK. And the light didn't come on. And I thought, oh, well, I won't tell you what I thought. It was rude. And then this plaintive cry comes from the bedroom. Is there any reason you've turned the bedroom light on? It wasn't me. It was the A-lady. She made a mistake, bless her. She made a mistake.
Well, tonight, I was in the kitchen and she was in the hall eating a dinner, and she'd finished a dinner and she was lying there, and I said, was that nice? Was that nice dinner? And suddenly the A-lady in the kitchen started playing Smooth FM.
The A-lady's got a mind of her own. She does my head in, honest to God, she does. I mean, how can you mistake toilet for bedroom?
How can you mistake, was that a nice dinner, for play Smooth FM?
I don't know. Plus the fact you never said the A-lady word.
No, I didn't.
To activate her. I think, do you know, it's really weird because I have Facebook And I only ever access Facebook through Firefox. And Firefox has a Facebook container. So anything that you surf for outside one of those containers, Firefox does not know about. Facebook doesn't know about. But honestly, I watched one episode of NCIS a couple of nights ago. And the next minute, Facebook comes up and says, do you want to join this group about NCIS? And I thought, just a minute. How did it know? So I think there's a leak somewhere. Having said that, there is a weird option. Have you seen this new option, Mike, in Facebook for mobile?
What is it?
It's a privacy option that's appeared, but you have to go find it. And basically, it... Let me read it. Mind you, I'll never find it again, will I? Because you've got to go into the settings and drill down. Settings and privacy. Is it settings? I think it's settings. And then from there, it had this ludicrous name that would frighten anybody witless. Access your information, I think. Is it access your information? No, off Facebook activity, it's called. So you go into it. And it says, off Facebook activity includes information that businesses and organisations share with Facebook about your interactions with them, such as visiting their apps or websites. And I thought, just a minute, let me think that through again. So it's not Facebook that's mining your information per se. Your information is being passed to the Facebook app from other apps. And I thought, well, I haven't got any apps that are doing that. Yeah, there's me, naive as anything. So I go looking at it and it comes up with websites. So I don't have apps from these websites. It comes up with websites. It comes up with all sorts. And I'm like, just a minute, where did these come from? Honestly, you go into it and it shows you and it says you can clear your history, which nukes everything that's there at the moment. But you would actually have to go into manage your Facebook, your off Facebook activity to stop Facebook doing it, which would be fine. So I'm sat looking at it on mobile. And every time I try and log into this, you know, stop them doing that, it crashes. So I was horrified about the amount of information. And it wasn't from Facebook, if you're with me. It's other applications giving Facebook the information on a plate. Unbelievable. I first saw about it on a post on there. And I thought, oh, this has got to be a wind up. You know, that can't be true. Oh, it is. And the other thing is, every time they bring an update out to the Facebook app, it turns the option back on. So every time there's an update, you have to turn it off. And it is a genuine thing. I thought that was horrific. I mean, not that I'm doing anything that, you know, I would particularly be worried about, but it just as a matter of principle that your information is being shared in that way. The post that explained it all actually said it included financial information from your banking apps. Now, just the fact that you were banking with, say, the Midland could be enough for somebody to send you a spoof thing and you fall for it. Now, whoever you bank with, that information should not be passed on to Facebook. And there was no way to stop it from the apps who were doing the sending. Now, I know Apple have brought in these privacy labels, but even that's not doing much good. Because your options are, if you look at it and you think, well, I want the app, but I don't want it to share its information. Well, that's just tough. The only difference now is that you can see it and it's telling you that it's going to do that. But your only option is not to use it. So yeah, that was scary. Has anybody tried that? Have you been in and seen it and turned it off? Is it just me that's bothered about turning it off? I think the easiest thing to do is to just nuke Facebook. In the same way Kim has nuked Twitter. And to be honest, I'm using Twitter so infrequently now. I'd rather be in Slack. So, yeah, I might have to nuke Facebook. If I do, then I could put Slack in the space on the homepage that's taking up, couldn't I, Mike?
Mm.
Thing was, Facebook was came into its own. I never used Facebook. Never, ever went on Facebook. Not for years on end. And the only time I went on it was when I hooked up with everybody from the church. And we were organising stuff for the church in the week on Facebook. But Facebook can be pretty toxic at times as well. Who uses Facebook on a regular basis? Let me know in the chat. You do, but mainly for looking at, would say.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd particularly live stream, do you? In terms of, I'm doing this today, I'm doing that. Mind you, there's not much that you're doing. Yeah, almost, well, we're over 10 months in, aren't we, to lockdown. Yet pretty much you've done everything that you're doing. I don't think there's much scope anymore to surprise anybody. Oh, Simon does, mainly for woodworking groups. I think groups are slightly different because the thing with groups is you're in a group because you're interested in the topic of the group. And to me, the groups are probably the bit that works best. But when it starts saying, like, you follow this person, you might want to follow that person. And you look at it and it's like, no, not ever on God's green earth am I going to want to do that. And you think, how have you worked that out? Like when Mike and I admitted we were engaged, they thought we got engaged, it was about 2012. We'd been engaged since 1999, but we thought we might as well make it official because people were thinking that we were single. And Mike was getting a lot of, why don't you join this Catholic singles group, weren't you?
Yeah,
yeah, which was quite frightening. So we did. And then I started seeing wedding cakes and wedding gowns. And I thought, if I said we'd split up, would I then get to see counselling services and stuff? Oh, no, the groups are the best bit. You're quite right, Simon. The groups are fine. Tracy's got a conundrum for Affinity Publisher. You've also had your computer hijacked. That needs to be stopped, doesn't it? Could the finance not be done on the iPad, or does it need Windows? Is that the issue? The finance needs Windows. Conundrum. Partner's doc has bullet points that won't render in the PDF because they're a different font. Can't see how to sort it out. Is the font embedded in the PDF? Have you tried looking at the PDF in different applications? Have you tried looking at the PDF on different machines? Is the problem at the PDF end? So did it send it through and it's just not rendering it correctly in the PDF, or did it never get sent through in the first place? There's a few things to think about. If you've got Acrobat, even the reader, I think, it should tell you what's embedded and what's not. Kim doesn't go on Facebook much anymore, neither. It's a little bit toxic. I mean, there's fun stuff on there. At the beginning of lockdown, it was great. There were so many jokes, but it's gone off again.
I've got an update.
To what?
To the ambulance story.
Oh, good grief. Go on.
A man who was caught driving to Asda in a second-hand ambulance has been jailed.
One way to stop him.
Yeah.
Well, what was he jailed for?
Everything, probably.
Traffic-related incidents.
Yeah.
I guess it's just taking the proverbial.
No fixed abode, was arrested and appeared at Manchester Mags Court today, charged with single counts of driving whilst disqualified, driving without a licence, driving without insurance, using a vehicle with unauthorised blue lights and failing to appear in court. He was jailed for 32 weeks.
Yes to everything. Apparently, the bullet is in a different font. Finished trying to sort it out, but they didn't manage it. So, Paul says, seen settings, subset fonts, cause export issues with fonts. Look in the More panel, down to the bottom, and checking and unchecking. I would say, rather than just try and send the single bullet, embed the entire font. That's one option. Another option is to take the bullet that you want, the symbol. You could probably do it in Publisher, but I'd probably do it in Designer. Put it in there and convert it to a shape, and then basically turn the bullet into an image. And that way it should definitely be embedded in there. So that's the next thing that I would try. I knew it, the finances needed Windows. Don't they always? I had to venture into Windows today. Yeah, I won't be doing that again in a while, Mike. After behaving itself impeccably since this was installed, today it decided to take one on itself. fans were going crazy. I went into Activity Monitor and Parallels was using 499% system resources. So I thought, oh, bless, it must be doing an update. So I went in and had a look at the update. No, it wasn't doing an update. It's just having an off day. It's calmed down now and is using 4% system resources. Just one of those days, clearly. Kim turns the bullets into images as well. Easy and fast. It's a better way to go just for the fact that they are guaranteed to look like you want them to look. And you don't have issues down the line that, you know, it looks all right in one app, but not another app. I'm the same with bullets, particularly in PowerPoint and Keynote. I want a dash at the beginning rather than a round bullet. That bit's not difficult. But when you try and get it positioned correctly, vertically, in the vertical space, it's always slightly off. It's so annoying. And I haven't found a fix for that yet. Did we discuss the coronavirus rectal swab test? We started with it, Simon. Come on. Come on. Put you in mind of both the drive-through option if the 24 hours the illuminated Batside saga all over again. If I saw the font, I'd cringe. Agency. Isn't that all curly? I think I've actually got agency installed. I have no idea why. If that's the bullet you want, that's the bullet you want. Just turn it into an image and then it's yours. What I would say with that is put it somewhere, make a folder for all of the bullets that you prefer, and that way you don't lose it. Unlike me, who lost an image today, I don't know how I managed to do that. I can only assume it was in the transition between Devon Thinkham Bridge and this machine and the one behind me that's making a very, very loud noise at the moment. But I found it afterwards, so problem solved. Oh yes, Simon, we did not let that pass us. But I'm thinking, yeah, illuminated backside, you know, basically you've got a swab in one hand and a torch in the other. Yeah. We even put the front cover of Today's Star up there. And I said, you know, can you imagine you sat at home because, you know, lockdown. You got the star in your hand and you're about to eat your breakfast. Did you see the front of the star, Simon? If not, let me paste it in for you. I think it's that one. No, hang on. Which one is it? I think it's that one. Yep, it's that one. Just imagine that lovely view with breakfast. I do wonder about the star at times. I say newspaper, but obviously term used incredibly loosely. It's the star. Not often much news in it. Jonathan was more concerned. Young Jonathan was far more concerned, Simon, that Piers Morgan had indeed decided to stand for PM. Because it would be our Donald Trump moment with knobs on. Piers Morgan is... There are no words for Piers Morgan. At least Donald Trump had business experience. I'm not sure what experience Piers Morgan's got. But no, please don't let that happen. Mind you look around and you think, not him, not him, not her. No, not them. Oh dear, Piers Morgan. Yeah, I can see people voting for him. It's too scary. It's all blocky, not your choice of font. Right, let's have a look. Let's have a look. See if I can see agency. I'm sure I had that installed. Maybe I'm thinking of a different font entirely. Because I thought that one was quite decorative. Let's put some text on and see if I have agency. Do-do-do-do. Angry Birds. You know, as you do. I don't think I do. No, I don't. Well, which one am I thinking about? If it was decorative and began with an A. No, it must have been one that I've had previously. No, I do not have agency on that. I will go and have a look at it. And then I can pass an opinion, can't I? No, hang on. I better do that the other way around. If I put font agency, I'm going to get font agencies. Agency FB. Is this the one? Let's have a look at it. Oh, it's like I have a font that's similar to that. I think that one begins with an I. Impact. Is it Impact? It doesn't look unlike Impact. It's got some interesting shapes to the fonts, though, hasn't it? The letters, the individual letters. But if that's what you want, that's what you want. I had another one as well, which began with a H. Strange name. I am unlikely to be able to pronounce it. Let's have a look. Wasn't a hungry beast. It was a blocky type thing. Oh, it's German. Oh, do forgive me for butchering this. Hattenschweiler.
Hattenschweiler.
Yeah, very similar to Impact. But narrower. I would say, in fact, yeah, if I had a choice, I would probably go with Impact because the kerning is a bit off in this Hattenschweiler one. But it's the same kind of font. It's very blocky. You would use it for like Impact. So I remember the one is called Impact and that the other one begins with a H, but don't ask me to pronounce it again. Once was enough. Awful for readability. Well, you could try that other one, that the one that I mentioned, Atkinson Hyperlegibility. That one's got all of the styles in it, but it's particularly recommended by the Institute for the Blind. So I would go with that. I think it's quite nice. So you really don't fancy that, Simon? Tracy, sadly, I do have that image in my head with the Moonies. I do. Yeah. No. it's not good, but I can imagine it happening. Piers Morgan would probably do quite well. You hate him. Ah, but Simon, do you hate him more than you hate Boris? Which would be your nemesis of the two? Could you imagine if they started working together? All right, let's leave that there before we all start crying. Oh, that bad Simon. If Simon had the power to eradicate one from the world, Piers Morgan or coronavirus, the coronavirus would be a marginal win. Couldn't we just embed the coronavirus in Piers Morgan and get rid of both that way? Can't change the font. It's their corporate font and we have to give customers their data sheet for a product we use in your system. Oh, darn it. Well, if they like it, turn it into a shape and that will solve the problem. Piers Morgan's more hateable, but Bongo's more dangerous. Do you reckon? I couldn't choose between them. But Boris should volunteer to test the new China COVID test. Yeah, but if he did answer it, he might do it on the TV. No, just no. We could get rid of the pair of them that way. They could both volunteer. Let's get rid of them that way. Well, I'm going to head off and I'm going to sort myself out for tomorrow because it's Two Show Friday. How? Is it the end of the month and Friday again? I swear somebody's got my clock on two times. They must have. Mind you, if you were here at the beginning of yesterday's show, I didn't know what day it was, did I? Nor what show it was, nor what time it was. I welcomed everybody. I said it's 8 o'clock and it wasn't. It was seven. And then I got the day and the number wrong. Jonathan thought I'd been on acid. Oh, if only. Tesco don't deliver. Never mind. So for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.